Time to welcome some new takes.
Right this way.
To Bad Take Boulevard.
If only there was something in your head to control the things you say.
It's the dumbest argument ever.
With the Killer Bees.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
All right, who has made the list? 6087. We usually don't kick it off with the texters, but again, we're pandering to the city, baby. It's a New Year's resolution of mine. Beginning of the season, I texted into Bad Takes. I don't know if I... Maybe I shouldn't say this. Blinkers is over there. Beginning of the season, I texted into Bad Takes and said Rodgers wouldn't finish top 10 QB and Packers would miss the playoffs. I got laughed at. Great take. Then it shouldn't belong on Bad Take Boulevard. But he does say, I love the show, guys. So we love you, too. Well, Blinkers might not love you.
Nope.
For mentioning that. But
thanks a lot.
I love you. 6087. All right, Bad Take Boulevard. Here's what we're going to lead off with today. Paul Feinbaum asked on First Take, what has Nick Saban ever done without Kirby Smart?
I'm living in the real world, and you guys want to talk about Nick Saban. How has he done without Kirby Smart as his defensive coordinator? Yeah, he beat Kirby Smart, and then he won a title in COVID. But the program has slipped. We're not talking about falling off the face of the earth. We're talking about a fraction. And right now, a fraction means everything in college football.
There you go. Nicholas Lou Saban Jr. has fallen off.
I love that he starts it off asking, what has he ever done without Kirby Smart?
And immediately, and then he tries to diminish, what, two of the three national championships he won without Kirby?
Literally, the next words out of his mouth is, well, he won a title in 2020. Like, well, okay, then he's done something.
Now, do you think Alabama's fallen off, though?
I mean, define falling off.
They're no longer fifth top in the team nation? In the country?
I mean, to Paul Feinbaum's point, Nick Saban's won three titles without Kirby Smart. And he beat Georgia. And when they won the title in 2020, they beat Georgia in the regular season on their way to that national title.
Yeah, what has he ever done without Kirby Smart?
Only three national titles.
Yeah, three. Not one. Not two. Three.
Do you want an interesting Alabama? Do you want an interesting Alabama nugget?
I would love it.
You know the last time that QB1 for Alabama didn't win a national title since Bryce Young? No, which one was the last one, before Bryce Young? Because Bryce Young is
the... He won one as a backup.
He won one when he was taking a kneel down in victory formation under Mac Jones. Mac Jones, superior player. I'm kidding. But Bryce Young is the only Alabama QB1 to not win a national championship since... Blake Sims. Bryce Young, Blake
Sims.
What
year was that?
I think it was 2014.
Wow.
I think 2014 is when Blake Sims was the starting quarterback.
I couldn't have told you when Blake Sims played.
Yeah, Blake Sims was the quarterback one. That was his senior year. He's the last quarterback one to not win a national championship at Alabama, with the exception of Bryce Young. Because then you had Mac, you had Tua, or not in order here. You had Jalen Hurts, and maybe even one more.
Yeah, McCarron, and before they had Greg McElroy.
I think McCarron was before that. Yeah. So Bryce Young.
Former Texan.
Bryce Young, QB1. McCarron. Bryce Young, QB1 that did not win a title at Alabama. First time since Blake Sims in 2014. Those are facts. All right, next one on Bad Take. Major League Baseball, MLB.com, doesn't think the Astros will make the World Series once over the next 10 years. They put this graphic out yesterday because we're a month away from spring training, so they're searching for content. They predicted the next 10 World Series matchups. I'm not going to go through all of these, but not a single one of them, next 10 years, starting in 23, ending in 32, list the Astros as the representative out of the American League.
This is just so typical of MLB.com. This is so typical of any arm of Major League Baseball that starts with the commissioner's office. Because Robbie Manfred, as you call him because you know him well, Rob Manfred is a joke. And everything underneath him is too. Because no matter what, hell or high water, they are going to find a way to try and crap all over the Astros. I go back to the playoff commercials they were running, and they were basically using highlights of every other team and every other player and no Astros, and just continue to crap on the Houston. Let them keep doing it, because you know what? The more they do this crap, the more they promote the best rotations in baseball and crap on the Astros, and who's going to win the next 10 World Series, and it isn't the Astros. The Astros just keep doing what they do. They win. They prove MLB and Rob Manfred wrong, and he hates every bit of it, so let's just keep doing it.
Scale of 1 to 10.
God, I dislike that
play
guy.
Play Davos at Manfred?
Yes.
No one does. He's a fraud. Scale of 1 to 10. How confident are you on a scale of 1 to 10 that the Astros make a World Series in the next 10 years?
8.
Okay. Yeah. That's about where
Eight's
I'm
a good
at.
Number.
I mean, making the World Series is hard. Like, I know the Astros have made it look easy over the last six
Injuries
years.
Injuries and other things. Everything's got to line up. But I like I like the roster. I like everything about where they're at. I think that it wouldn't take anything more than them being who they are to make another one in the next 10 years.
Really good foundation. I mean, you have Pena for the next 5 years. You've locked in Yordan for the next six. I mean, stud. You have Tucker for three more years, Bregman for two, Altuve for two. Now, those are a little bit of the elder foundation, mm-hmm. but the younger foundation there. Then you look at the pitching staff, Hunter Brown. How good do we think he's going to be? He'll have 6 years of club control. Javier has three. Fromber has three. You still have Luis Garcia as a good young pitcher as well. Really good foundation for the Houston Astros, and Crane has shown that he's willing to spend up to the competitive balance tax when he needs to. This is from Texas Rangers Insider, which is probably just like kind of a fan site on Twitter. But they predicted the finish of the American League West in 2023, and they list the Texas Rangers ahead of the Houston Astros. They list them ahead of the Seattle Mariners. They list them ahead of the Anaheim Angels. I'll be honest with you. If Texas finishes above fourth in the American League West, I would be stunned. Four. I think it's going to go Astros, Mariners, Angels, Rangers.
I think it's probably right. I think that's probably right. You know, and DeGrom's got to stay healthy. And I still think they have so many holes to fill.
Rare.
And it is rare. I think they reach just simply because of his health. Yeah, I think that they saw the rest of the division and thought, oh, God, for as much as we've already spent on two shortstops, we got to spend a whole hell of a lot more trying to rebuild our pitching staff to get to where they are. And now it's both of those teams, because I think that the Mariners are for real, and they're trying to take the next step up to compete with the Astros. And the Angels are doing everything right for a change in trying to add the complementary pieces at as many as they can around their big studs, hoping they can stay healthy. So I could see that being realistic. But I don't think it's realistic to say the Rangers are going to finish above the Astros. That's ridiculous.
They'd be lucky to get on the podium in the American League West in 2023. 1970, Stoops thinking that he could stop Jake in PKs. This is, I think, in relation, he meant Stoots, not Stoops. This is in relation to the promo that we run on the station.
He thinks if Cody were to attempt five.
No, penalty. Jake. Jake's the one attempting
Jake
the PKs.
Sorry. Five. If Jake were to attempt five penalty kicks against Cody.
Cody would be between
Cody
the
thinks
pipes.
He could stop four out of the five.
Yeah, of ten, Cody thinks he could stop. Oh, four, hold on, we'll say that again.
Four out of five.
Cody thinks he could. I thought it was ten.
Four out of ten wouldn't even be a good ratio. Cody was confident. He thinks he could stop all but. If you want to simplify it, he thinks he can stop all but one of Jake's penalty kicks.
I thought it was 5 out of 10.
I did too. I actually thought it was out of 10.
If it's 4 out of 5, that makes me feel a little bit different.
It's 4 out of 5. Yeah, no, it wasn't only half. Cody was very, very unimpressed or very not confident in Jake's athletic ability.
I'm not confident in Jake's athletic ability either.
I don't think many people are. I mean, I was running the show that day, so I can tell you it wasn't 5 out of 10.
4 out of 5. That's difficult.
Yeah, I don't think Cody's stopping 4 out of 5.
I don't think, well...
Unless he's guessing right, 4 out of 5.
Well, I mean, is Jake putting enough power on these shots where like,
he has to
Cody,
guess?
Cody doesn't
that's
have to
the,
guess.
This isn't
World Cup soccer where right. The dude's taking the PKs like are so good that you have to guess where they're going. Cody would have time to react. Like, Cody doesn't have to sit back and guess. Cody's going to sit back and read where the ball's going. And I'm not sure that Jake can put it on goal like 4 out of 5 times.
That's a big part
but
of
Cody
it.
But Cody said he could say 4 out of 5?
4 out of 5.
That's a lot. I think
four
Jake gets at least 2.
4 out of 5 is too grandiose.
I think Jake gets at least 2.
I think stopping 4 or 5 out of 10, I'd give Cody a good shot.
Right. But if he said 4 out of 5, I do agree that that's a bad take. I think that Jake scores
well.
At least twice. Although I'm not sold on that. I'm really not. I'm not sure that if there was nothing in goal that Jake would be able to score 2 out of 5. Honestly. Like, I don't know. I really don't. All right, moving on. 105.3, the fan. Somebody sent this one in on Twitter. They sent it to me and not Pac-Man Joel for some reason. But it says, the fan, Mike Basick, I don't know if I said that right, he said that the Astros are run far more poorly than the Texans.
Oh, my God.
Make sense of that one for me. How?
This must be someone that thinks the Astros are running their, like the whole general manager thing. There's been a lot of people in baseball media that have been really butthurt over the idea that Jim Crane is going to be the kind of quasi general manager.
Let's concede that. Let's say that
let's go to the Joel Blank whiteboard.
Let's concede.
Let's go to the Joel Blank whiteboard.
You have a whiteboard?
Compare the, you know, how we say the
I think it's the first time I've heard you said that.
Yeah. All right. Ownership.
Yeah.
Done, right? Not even a comparison.
Crane over Cal.
Right. Yeah. All right. General manager.
Well, there's not a general manager.
Right,
the
but there's more experience in the room, and they have all bases covered, as opposed to
do you trust,
no experience Nick Caserio. I'm not saying I trust them long term.
Hold on a second. I'm asking. Let's go.
I'm asking where you guys put this. Who wins?
Are you Bagwell, Cabell, Jackson over Caserio?
Don't forget your
Dusty?
Your analytics guy.
The guys in the Furcus?
Furcus.
And Ball and all them?
Yeah.
You named off two Hall of Famers.
Yeah, I did.
Nick Casario's not a Hall of Famer.
And they have experience.
I don't know, man. That might be. Can we go wash on that one?
I'm asking you, is it a win for the Texans or is it a wash?
I'm going wash.
I would go wash.
All right, so then you guys, two out of three, no matter what I say, it's a wash. So you got one win and a wash. Roster?
Certainly the Astros.
Results?
Astros win.
Okay, so how is this even a discussion?
I don't think it's a discussion.
Is there intangible?
It's just an anti-Astros take.
Cheerleaders? I'll give it to the Texans. Over whatever those girls that jump on the dugout.
The girls that get up on the dugout and dance during the middle of the inning.
Don't sleep on Orbit.
They're shooting stars.
Yeah, Orbit's certainly greater sign over Toro.
Let's get one more. Arizona.
Toro got mascot of the year.
Yeah, he's an athlete. Michael Bidwell, who is the owner of the Cardinals.
Oh, jeez.
Here's what he had to say about the upcoming coaching search in the desert.
We're in communication, and we should be talking later today. We texted and either today or tomorrow, and so absolutely want to get the input of our leaders, including Kyler, and spoken with a number of leaders already.
He's in communication, and he's texting Kyler Murray on who should be the next head coach.
This is the
of the Arizona Cardinals.
Anti-Deshaun Texans conversation.
They had dinner. They asked
that turned it all out of whack here in Houston.
They asked Deshaun's input, and Deshaun was not listened to. Don't ever ask for the input. Like, this is asking Kyler Murray who should be the quarterback or who should be the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals is like asking first graders who they think their teacher should be. They're going to pick the one whoever gives them the candy, doesn't make them work, lets them have fun all day, doesn't teach them a single thing. Kyler Murray is going to pick the head coach that never has to have practice, that doesn't make him watch
film, that's
going to allow him to go home and play Call of Duty. Like, and why in the world are you asking Kyler? And lets
him make every important play call.
Yeah. Like, this is silly. You're going to give the keys of the organization to a dude who has concerns whether or not he has the mental element to play the sport.
When I read this, it was one thing. When you start to really think it through and say, you're giving not only the keys to the car, but the keys to the essentially to the franchise, to a guy and letting him be Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning-esque. And what has he done? Except for body language that says he sells out his teammates, he sells out his coaching staff, he doesn't want to work hard, but he wants all the money in the world because he's the best athlete that has ever played the two sports, or at least currently. If that's all you're hanging your hat on and you're giving this dude total control, essentially, or a loud voice in as it relates to your future, look the hell out. It's scary in Arizona right now.
And it makes the list of Bad Take Boulevard. What should make the list? You can always let us know by tweeting Joel at Pac-Man Joel. That's the Bad Take Boulevard, this week's edition of Bad Take Boulevard. Something came up earlier with the Sean Payton thing. We know that Benny Johnson has conducted his interview with the Texans. That's great, via Zoom. We were asked a question earlier. Like, Sean Payton, immediately you get some respect. Immediately everybody around the NFL is taking you seriously. A lot of people would be happy if it's Sean Payton. What about the other head coaches, though? What about the other candidates? Would those guys make you happy? Which of them would? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
What's that thing you want to do?
Trevor Bauer was released officially by the Dodgers today, and the Dodgers are set to pay him $21 million next year. I just want one of those gigs one time. One time. Here's 21 mil to walk away, Joel. Never have to worry about seeing me again.
Just
all good in the neighborhood.
Just punch a woman.
Not doing that. That's not part of the prerequisite to get me where I need to go.
You don't get $21 million for doing that?
No, I think you could lose $21 million in overall perception and value if you did that.
Dana White's still the CEO of UFC.
He did say it was a bad look.
Okay. And the sun comes up tomorrow.
Really, exactly. Thanks for pointing that out.
King of Twitch says, here's an interesting hypothetical.
Okay.
King of Twitch, who still haven't gotten that.
He owes you, but you said it's in the mail.
Still haven't gotten that gift card, King of Twitch. Just letting you know. I still haven't got that Willet, Dick Willie. I'm 2-0 lifetime against our Twitch and bets, BMAC, but I've not received either one. But he does bring up an interesting hypothetical. You can only have. This is an easy hypothetical.
It's easy.
Bryce or Peyton, you can only have one. Which one?
Bryce.
It's Bryce. I will take pick number 12 over Sean Payton. So that's a really easy hypothetical. Maybe it's not as good a question as I thought. So we were talking about Payton quite a bit earlier. Texans requested an interview from the Saints asking for permission to talk to Payton. There was reported last night, I forget who reported it, that said that Sean Payton is going to accept the interview with the Houston Texans. We also know that Benny Johnson Zoom interviewed with the Houston Texans today. The Houston Texans tweeted it out. I thought so too, but I was wrong. Wrong. It was a virtual meeting. I don't know if it was Zoom or not.
He doesn't have the playoffs to prepare for. Come on down.
It might be a league rule that you can't do it in person yet.
Probably the new year hasn't started yet. I get that.
But so they did a virtual interview today. The Texans have actually announced that they did it. They posted it out on Twitter, which is transactional. You have to do that with the NFL. So Benny Johnson has already interviewed. That's great. All of these candidates are great for the Houston Texans. But it got brought up earlier. Like, if the Texans sign Sean Payton, you immediately take him seriously. The rest of the NFL takes him seriously. They automatically earn some credibility right away after, you know, firing Culley, firing Lovey. Neither one should have been hired. No one else was hiring either one of those guys. So it would give you all of those things. And it got brought up, you know, signing Sean Payton to be the head coach would make you happy. It would make Texans fans, generally speaking, happy. Would any of the other coaches, though, make you happy? Because if happiness is what you're seeking, does DeMeco Ryans make you happy?
I think for a lot of people it does, because what basically it's telling me, which is disappointing, is I don't think that there's enough Texans fans that want to go in-depth enough that they could just be superficially pleased by the sexiness of a known name like a Sean Payton or a DeMeco Ryans, and the reasons why they think that that's a great hire is because they remember him as a player. I think it's so hyper-important they get this one right, not just because of the two missteps, but because of where they're going to be after another big draft with a lot of extra picks to take this thing to the next level. And so I would be ecstatic if they got Ben Johnson, because in 1 year's time with not a whole lot to work with, and we always said the one caveat for Pep Hamilton is he couldn't run the play. Maybe he couldn't run all the plays he wanted to run because he knew he didn't have a roster capable of executing him. Well, Ben Johnson just did that. He didn't have a roster that might have been fully capable of executing all the plays, but the plays that he called and the innovation that he showed was amazing. And I think that if you're taking this franchise to the next level and some of the pieces you already have in place and assuming the ones you're going to put in place, that's the kind of guy that I say, man, that dude would be amazing. I think if you're talking about on the same wavelength for what Texans fans are thinking, if they look at DeMeco Ryans or they look at Sean Payton, I think a Harbaugh would open a lot of eyes. I don't think he'd have the same results, or at least I'm not sure, as some of the younger guys, but I certainly think from the caveat or the cachet and the media perspective, people would be excited about Harbaugh in Houston.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of coaches that a lot of the population of Texans fans would be pleased with. I don't think it just needs to be Sean Payton or bust. Where if Sean Payton's the guy, everybody's happy. And if it's not Sean Payton, everybody's not. I think that the city would have a good percentage of people. If it's DeMeco Ryans, they'd be happy. If it's Benny Johnson, they would be happy. I might stop the list there. I don't want to entertain the coaches that have not been brought up for interview. But Shane Steichen, I think some people would be happy about that. I personally
think basically
wouldn't be.
People are going to be happy about it. Basically, everybody except for the DC's not named DeMeco. If you're talking about Gannon from Philadelphia, or you hired the Broncos defensive coordinator, then you're going to wind up, I think, with angry phone calls the next time we do a show. But as long as it's not one of the defensive coordinators not named DeMeco, I think you're going to have at least a decent amount of the fan base pretty excited.
To me, there's one offensive coordinator, one defensive coordinator, though. And maybe I'm in the minority there, but there's not another OC that I would be happy with, and there's not another DC I would be happy with. It's Benny Johnson, DeMeco Ryans, or bust. Personally speaking, and I don't think that I'm in the popular opinion here, maybe this is me breaking my New Year's resolution of pandering to popular opinion, I wouldn't be happy if it's not Benny Johnson or DeMeco Ryans. Like, I know a lot of people would be happy if it's Steichen, because he's running an Eagles offense that's very good. Jonathan Gannon running an Eagles defense that is very good. I don't want the Eagle guys. The new name to the list, Thomas Brown. I don't want Thomas Brown. Like, do I think that Thomas Brown's the brains behind the Rams operation? No. I think Sean McVay was the brains behind the Rams operation.
Here's what I would say, because I'm kind of along the same wavelength. The reason why we've been talking about the fact Texans have done a complete 180 as an organization, they're trying to resurrect their image, they're trying to do all these things. But the reason why you come out of the gates and be the first organization on Black Monday to make a move is because you want to be at the top of the priority list, but you also want to be the top of the picking list to get whoever you want. If that's the case, And you and I are, all three of us are on the same page that we firmly believe the hottest name going with the best chance potential to be the next kind of Sean McVay-ish type guy is Johnson. Go get him. Go get the guy before anybody else gets the guy, because you were the first out of the gates to say you need a guy.
That's who
I wouldn't be so quick to dismiss a Sean McVay assistant, though. I mean, we just saw last year in the Super Bowl, a former McVay assistant had the Bengals in the Super Bowl, Zach Taylor. Obviously, Matt LaFleur has had a couple, 13-win seasons with the Packers. I mean, there's been a lot of success with guys coming off that coaching tree.
Blankers, how you feeling about LaFleur?
I like him.
Okay.
I still like him. Aaron or not, I like him.
I mean, and Kevin McConnell right now, the Vikings won 13 games. That's also off the coaching
tree. I think LaFleur's been limited, if that's... And look, to his benefit because of the record that he's had, but he's been limited because of the fact that Rodgers is so domineering, because he just tries to control everything. But I still think that LaFleur has controlled the locker room. He is in control of the organization. He does and he knows what needs to be done. So I think LaFleur's done a very good job with the Packers. I was shocked when there were some Packer fans that started a fire. LaFleur needs to be fired. No, he doesn't. The problem isn't Matt LaFleur. It's the dictatorship at quarterback for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, the Zach Taylor thing, I think Blankers could win with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase.
But I'll say this. The first year, everybody thought Zach Taylor was overmatched and wasn't a very good head coach. And look what he's become.
I like Zach Taylor a lot. I wish he was the Texans head coach. I think he's a man of character and class, and love the way he handled the whole Buffalo thing. I think he's a good coach.
Have you seen my 4th-and-1 calls? I mean, I could be a phenomenal coach with the Bengals.
Yeah. So, but the
a lot
Benny,
of fullback dives?
No.
The Benny
a lot
Johnson.
Of pre-snap movement.
The Benny Johnson, like a lot of the people that are anti-Benny Johnson, they talk about, well, he's only 1 year as an OC. The reason that he's such a hot name after being a 1 year as an OC is because he's a genius, because he is really good. He is fantastic. So if you're hesitant to hire a coach because they've only been an offensive coordinator for 1 year, how many years was McVay an offensive coordinator? McVay was an offensive coordinator for 1 year.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason that coaches get hired after being an offensive coordinator for 1 year. They're usually wunderkinds, and I believe that's where Ben Johnson is. Last year, Detroit this offseason, they didn't add a whole lot to their offensive roster. They drafted Jameson Williams, but Jameson Williams missed it most of the year. Like, he didn't really have huge production this year. And they also traded away Hockenson at the deadline.
They sure did.
They traded
a
top 10 first-round pick on a tight end that they traded deadline.
Eighth
was on the top of my mind.
And he also, excelled with Minnesota once they got him. But what does that tell you?
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to he made the Pro Bowl as a tight end with the Vikings.
I believe so, yeah.
And I think he was the leading pass catcher amongst tight ends once he started with the Minnesota for the rest of the year. But that tells you something didn't jive with what Campbell and Ben Johnson were looking for and expecting out of their offense. But I give him credit. If he didn't fit their locker room or something in their huddle, they moved on from him, but they still did very well.
Detroit last year, offensive roster almost identical to this year's offensive roster. Detroit last year without Benny Johnson had the 24th offense in the NFL. This year with Benny Johnson as their offensive coordinator, again, very similar personnel, fourth. Okay. Fourth in the NFL. The reason he's a popular name is because
he got
an offensive genius. 713-780-ESPN. Peyton, Benny Johnson, D'Amico Ryans. Which of these guys would make you happy? 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, tell you again about Apollo Men's Health. Look, it's not just for men, it's for women too. They're finding more energy for you on a daily basis. And look, let's face it, we're all up against it every single day, and we run out of time in the day to get done all we need to get done. A lot of times it's because you don't have the energy to finish what you started. Now you can get more energy back in your life on a daily basis because of the people at Apollo Men's Health. It could be as easy as a B12 shot every week like I get. It could be a little bit more complex in getting hormone therapy and all the different ways they could administer it, or you could administer it at home so that you can find a way to have more energy for your day. You're not trying to win a gold medal at this point in your life. You're trying to win the day. Get the honey-do list taken care of. Get everything done at work. Find time for the gym, your family, your kids. Do all the things that you need to do and feel good about being able to get it all done. And that's where Apollo Men's Health can help. You can do things like get on a workout program and start with a full body composition analysis. Take one periodically to chart your results and see how your numbers are going in the right direction. Recover quicker, HGH peptide therapy. You want to check out things for your smoothies and other kinds of supplements? They got those too. There are two locations to better serve you, both near downtown Houston, but it starts with something as easy as going to their website, apollomh.com. Check out all the services they offer, and if there's some that you think might be able to help you, make an appointment. Most major insurance is accepted. Discounts for military personnel and first responders. Mention my name, Joel Blank, free B12 shot, or a free body composition analysis on your first official visit and let the process go from there. Tell them where you're lacking. Tell them what you're trying to do. They'll put you on a program there that works. They'll get you the results you need. Good people doing great things on a daily basis. Go see my friends at Apollo Men's Health.
Well, hello. To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. Your team's our priority. Join the conversation with the Killer Bees. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. A lot of people are we're asking you who would make you happy as the Texans head coach. To me, it's two names or bust. It's Ben Johnson, I call him Benny, or D'Amico Ryans. Josh from Seabrook agrees. Either Benny Johnson or D'Amico Ryans, that way I don't have to give up draft picks. I want nothing to do with Sean Payton. Even if Sean Payton didn't have the draft pick compensation, I'm not picking him over Benny Johnson or D'Amico Ryans, honestly. Now, D'Amico Ryans does have the caveat for me that his plan for offensive coordinator matters a whole lot. I'm worried that if you go with a rookie quarterback, you think he's going to be your franchise quarterback, that you have a revolving door at offensive coordinator.
That's something. Can I throw you out a name that might make a whole hell of a lot of sense for him?
Gary Kubiak's been the dude for me.
Right, but that's why I'm going to go to a different name, because based on the reports this morning about the Jets wanting to get Gary Kubiak and saying he's probably not going to come back to the NFL, yeah. I think the guy that the Jets just got rid of, yeah. I think...
That's not going to move anybody's needle.
It's not, but LaFleur's little brother is a guy that worked with both guys, Sala and with D'Amico.
Yeah, he's a San Francisco guy.
And they said that he's going to be a hot commodity now that the Jets had to cut ties with him to be the fall guy for the debacle at quarterback. I think that it makes a lot of sense that D'Amico would consider him as his offensive coordinator. And you're right. It's not going to make a big splash and be a sexy and exciting pick for a team that's looking for offense and someone to groom quarterbacks. But because of the relationship, it seems like a no-brainer.
There's a few other of Gary Kubiak's sons who are coaching in the NFL ranks.
One's OC in Minnesota right now, or?
I don't think he's the OC anymore. I think he's gone when O'Connell came
because
in.
Because O'Connell's calling plays, right?
Yeah, Clint Kubiak is one of them. Looks like Kubiak's still with Denver, Clint Kubiak.
Okay.
I can't remember where the other one's at. Klein Kubiak. And then there's another one, Clay Kubiak, but he's just getting started in the NFL, it looks like. There's some thoughts that maybe they could be the OC for D'Amico Ryans. But even then, if they could do really, really well, you're looking at a dude who's probably going to be a head coach at some point. And if they don't do well, you're firing him. I'm a believer in if you feel like you need a quarterback to win in the NFL, that you pair that quarterback with a really good offensive mind. So D'Amico kind of loses a little bit of luster to me if it's not Gary Kubiak. Because I know that Gary Kubiak wouldn't
leave. I don't think it's
going to be. Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. Like, that loses a little bit of luster for me.
Yeah.
If it was Gary, like, I don't fear that Gary's going to leave to be a head coach, because he's not. He's not going to want to do that.
And Gary also not only been there, done that, but done it recently enough where he's still fully in touch with today's NFL to where I think it may. And he brings a stabilizing force to a first-time head coach. As a guy that's been in this city, knows what it takes to be a head coach in the league and in this city, and can help guide D'Amico through his first year. I think it makes way too much sense, but if he doesn't want to do it, and we know with his health concerns of the past, I totally get it. If he doesn't feel like he's up to it, then don't do it, because it is going to be an undertaking, whoever takes that job.
How would you feel if it's Peyton, knowing the draft pick compensation that you have to give?
I just hate it. I hate the compensation part. We already said that even without the compensation part, you would have to convince me, because it would appease the common fan that just wants that big splashy name, but it doesn't appease the roster and the current situation of the overall franchise. And it creates a real interesting dynamic between coach and general manager. I don't think they need all that right now. And I think that he is looking for a team that's in win-now mode. They are looking for a coach that's in it for the long haul to kind of mature and grow up with their roster as it gets better and better. So I'm not excited about Sean Payton.
I wouldn't like it at all. I would be out on that. I would not like the direction of the organization. I would feel like it certainly improved, and I feel like you would have a shot.
Right.
But I would be worried that the talent level of what you need to have a winning organization wouldn't be there.
If you were just trying to stabilize the front office and the locker room and take the franchise to the next level from a public perception standpoint and with a veteran-laden roster that's winning, I totally get it. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that Sean Payton, and I'm not discounting it, but I'm saying it's not the most important thing for this franchise. This franchise needs to get better on the field. This franchise needs to get better across the football operations, which he could possibly help with.
Yeah.
But in terms of Sean Payton needs to have a team that's ready to carry on his legacy of winning and chasing championships, and this franchise is not ready to do that.
Shane Steichen.
He's the hot name because Jalen Hurts, they've transformed Jalen Hurts into an MVP candidate, and they have the best record in football. But watching the offense, and again, they had to adjust their offense to cater to the running quarterback.
Uh-huh.
I give him credit, but I don't think he's the right guy for this job either.
I question Steichen being the brains in that operation.
Sirianni is the offensive-minded head coach.
Yeah, he's an offensive-minded guy. Now, he's calling the play. Shane Steichen's calling the play. So that is something that you have to bring up in that conversation. But how much is
I agree
the game
with you.
Planning Sirianni,
ultimately,
things like that?
In the week itself, preparation for the game, I think Sirianni's the loudest voice in the room.
Probably. How about Gannon?
Not at all.
Averro from Denver, the
Not
D.C.
DC. I don't want to. You know, I want an offensive coordinator, an offensive-minded head coach.
Thomas Brown.
Nope.
The associate head coach, tight ends coach with the Rams. All of those guys, like,
he's intriguing because he is a McVay guy, and McVay guys seem to succeed, but not enough.
But even he hasn't called play. He hasn't been a coordinator.
Yeah.
He hasn't been, like, we brought up earlier, Taylor was a coordinator. O'Connell was a coordinator. LaFleur was a coordinator. Thomas Brown has not been a coordinator.
It was our guy, the Wizard.
Balzer?
Balzer.
How'd you forget that, Howard Balzer?
Right? I don't know.
But you okay? You doing okay?
But Balzer was the guy that said he wants teams thinking outside the box where you don't necessarily have to have a coordinator. And he brought up some of the examples. He forgot one that you and I both said, which was Mike Tomlin, who came as a defensive backs coach.
I mean, Harbaugh, too.
Yeah. I don't know if today's NFL, you're going from position coach. David Culley didn't work out so good as a position coach as a head coach.
Right.
I don't know that a position coach is ready to go that big of a leap under the McVay tree, because McVay's calling plays and he has so much control over the offense. You can observe it on a daily basis and know what he's looking for. But I don't think he's the guy that actually executes it from a coaching perspective.
See, I've heard from a lot of people that they love the list. They love the current list that the Texans have requested interviews for. And they might not even interview all of them. And maybe adding Thomas Brown to this list is because there's somebody that might not interview with the Houston Texans. I like the list, too. Like, I don't want to just, talk down to this list and say the Texans are, because I think that they are. I think the Texans are talking to every top name that's out there. Sean Payton, Benny Johnson, D'Amico Ryans, Steichen, Gannon maybe don't move the needle for us, but they're going to be looked at by a lot of different teams. Same thing with Averro at Denver. Thomas Brown, I haven't seen his name in many different jobs, but the Texans list is good. But I'm also not one of those people that are going to sit here and say that the Texans could hire any coach on that list and I'd be happy with, because I wouldn't. I wouldn't be happy with Payton. I wouldn't be happy with Steichen. I wouldn't be happy with Gannon. I wouldn't be happy with Averro. I wouldn't be happy with Thomas Brown. It's one of two dudes for me. Like, the Texans list is great. I think that they're doing a very good job this cycle versus the previous 2 years. They're shopping for the very best names. They're doing an outstanding job putting together a serious list, and we have to take them serious. But I'm also not going to say, because the Texans are doing a great job with this candidate list, that I don't have my favorites. And I would be disappointed if it's anybody else but Benny Johnson and D'Amico Ryans.
I would agree with Ben. Ryans, to me, simply because I want an offensive-minded head coach. But otherwise, I like the name. I like his football acumen. I like the fact what he brings to the table with the experience he's had as a player and a coach. He brings a lot of positivity to the position. But I think that Ben Johnson is all of our first choice for obvious reasons. And because of the fact of what he's had to work with. It's like the analogy of a college football team that doesn't get all the five stars. but yet still finds a way to win and have the bigger programs on their heels because you're able to execute. That's who Ben Johnson is. That's what this franchise needs. That's why I would really, truly like him to be the next head coach. I have a question for you guys, and that is the other name that we haven't thrown out there yet, because the analogy to me is if you're looking for a head coach that you have to give up compensation to get, and we said there's really no one else out there with the exception of Peyton, Mike Tomlin, would that move the needle for you at all? Would that be a guy that you would be willing to give up draft compensation for?
No.
Because there were times during the year, maybe it was the relationship was over between him and the Steelers. I'm not saying that it is, but is that a guy that you'd be willing to? Because to me,
where'd that come from? Like, that's so out of left field. Like, I don't understand how that's even an option.
I was trying to think of another guy that you'd have to give up compensation for when we asked it earlier, and we were talking about it earlier in the show. And I'm thinking, well, that's either guys that are out of work that still are committed to a team, or there's any chance that there's a guy at a current team. Well, I remember during the year that there were discussions that maybe it's time for Tomlin and the Steelers to divorce, that the relationship is over, that the team isn't going anywhere anymore, and maybe, you know, he needs a fresh, you know, locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, is that a guy? Because to me, I don't think any of the guys that are out there, even a Mike Tomlin, and believe me, I think he could work wonders with the locker room, with a lot of just the overall transformation of the franchise and the football operations. But I think that he wants to win sooner rather than later. And I'm just a little leery of the fact that this roster is still a little too behind for a Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, I just don't see him leaving Pittsburgh.
I would hope not. And I know that their tendency is to hang on to quarterbacks till they're ready to leave. But I was just trying to think of another guy where you could have the conversation of would you give up a draft pick for them?
Let's flip the convo a little bit, because everything that we've talked about is who makes you happy. Which of these dudes that the Texans have requested interviews for would you not be happy with, would make you upset? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Also, we need to look at our bets. Remember we played Name the Texans, top scoring defense, where they rank, scoring offense, where they rank. We got a lunch We have lunch on the line here. We have lunch at stake. We got to determine who owes who what. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, we know it's a new year. It's a new you, but it's still sports that you love to watch. And you can make it more interesting at mybookie.ag. You can bet to earn money, or you can just make the most uninteresting games more interesting. It doesn't matter. The only place I tell you to go place your bets, mybookie.ag, because they give you the most for your money with their redesigned deposit bonuses. You just use that promo code every time I tell you to do the same thing. Whenever they ask for a promo code, wherever you can put in bet975. On a deposit of $50 or more, you can receive a cash bonus instantly to your MyBookie account. And all you got to do is bet it once and you can get it out straight cash, homie. Put it in your pocket and use it to your benefit. They're the best in the business. You can bet on anything, NFL, UFC, NBA, or you can play for a share of their big cash prizes weekly with their online blackjack tournaments. With so many brands to choose from, you need a platform that makes it simple to bet and win like MyBookie.ag. Get started today at MyBookie.ag. Use that promo code BET975 for the best deposit deal in the industry. The new deposit bonus is a 10% cash bonus on any first-time deposit up to $2,000. Bet it once. If you win, you can get it out. You can use it. You don't have to keep it in your account and use it more. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I continually tell you to do it. It's mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN at 92.5, 4958. What about Kingsbury as a OC? Not a connection with D'Amico, but could be a good coordinator. I like that, actually.
I don't think he's willing to accept it. I think that Cliff Kingsbury as an OC is a fantastic opportunity on both sides of the equation for a quarterback to develop, for Kingsbury to kind of reprove himself and really show his innovative offensive mind. I just don't think he's going to do it. I think whether it's in college or in the pros, I think now that he's gotten a taste of it. He just wants to be a head coach.
Where? I don't think he can be head coach until he's an OC again.
I think he'll be a head coach in college.
He said he would do any other job in the world than coach college.
Okay, so if he doesn't want it, but I think he would have offers immediately to coach in college.
I think so.
I think in the pros, maybe a different scenario. But I wouldn't put it out of the realm of possibilities of like an Indy interviewing a Cliff Kingsbury.
It hadn't happened yet.
It hasn't happened yet, but I could see it happen.
Not one single team has requested either guy, right?
Harbaugh or Kingsbury. I haven't heard them going anywhere.
Harbaugh at Denver? I think Harbaugh did interview with Denver.
I did not hear that.
Or has accepted an interview with Denver. I heard
he instigated the conversation with Tepper in Carolina.
Right.
But that wasn't really a coaching interview. But those are I think Kingsbury is worthy of an NFL team interviewing him this year.
It's been reported. Denver interviewing Harbaugh early in the week.
Okay.
So, at least there.
Denver's a team they should call Kingsbury as well. I mean, if you're working with a small quarterback. You got to have all the options on the table to fix Russ.
Look, I like Cliff a lot. If I have an NFL opening, I'm not hiring Cliff to be my head coach.
I'm not either. I'm just saying, if you're talking about all the options to fix Russ, you might as well have a conversation with him, Steve.
Why? Did he get the most out of Kyler?
I mean, there was a time
Russ is a completely 180 personality-wise, I think, from Kyler.
No doubt about that.
There is that, and there were stretches of the season, even going back to last year, where the Cardinals were playing really well until Kyler got hurt. I believe they started the season last year 7-0.
Yeah.
So
Super Bowl contender.
I know who stopped that streak.
It was the Green Bay Packers without any receivers.
Hopkins
pulled his hamstring.
That's also the one where Kyler sold out AJ Green. Because he basically on the field with all the body language and screaming at him, thought he ran the wrong route.
In the last play of the game, he certainly did.
Yep.
If we take what Cliff has said seriously about not coaching college, because he would do literally any other job, he said it's around the clock, 24/7, 365 days a year, where it never stops. Mm-hmm. If we take that seriously and
take him at his word,
if college is out of the equation, I don't believe he can get an NFL head coaching job again until he has success again as an offensive coordinator in the NFL.
Now, I don't know what kind of hurry he's in either. If he had multiple years left with a lot of money on the table, or at least...
He did. He got signed a 7-year deal.
There you go. If he's got all that money to play with, he can sit back and be as picky as he wants to be because he can go into broadcasting. He's a good-looking dude. You know what? There's networks that are going to put him on the air in the studio.
I think somebody would hire him.
I think someone's going to hire him.
I don't think he'd be good.
I mean, just like McVay. They're going to hire him, again, to make the splash.
See, I think McVay would be good, though.
I agree with that, because even the way he handles the sideline reporters, he's got charisma and personality. Yeah. He's not afraid of the tough question. He can actually dodge the question if he has to, or he can answer it hard-nosed. I think both guys will have TV opportunities. I think the fact that he'll have a ton of money left in his bank account means he's not going to be in a hurry. And so, therefore, if he doesn't want to take what he would see as a demotion and go back a step to be an offensive coordinator, he doesn't have to.
Yeah, they signed him to an extension through 27. Not a 7-year deal, but through 27 at the start
of
this year.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of time left.
Watching Hard Knocks 2 on HBO. I watched the end season. I'm not all the way done, but I plan on finishing. Listening to Cliff do like the Q&A stuff with the cameras, he strikes me as a guy that wouldn't mind leaving football for a year or two. Like, I could see him just taking this year off, kind of like resting. Didn't quit on his team like Sean Payton. He got fired.
I've never seen it. How is he at close to the vest guy, or is he able to kind of open up when they're doing that kind of behind the scenes? Because the one thing that I have...
None of them open up. I mean, none of them give away intel.
No, I'm not talking about intel about like the week to week. But I'm like, some guys are better than others in terms of talking about either in the tone of the locker room, the culture. No. Or, you know, things like that, or off the field stuff.
I mean, he's matter of fact. Like, he's very to the point.
Because McVay is able to, like I said, roll with the punches.
He's more chill, laid back, cool. Like,
I think that to me, that's why Brady scares me so much. If you're Fox and you threw $300 million at him, I don't think Brady's going to be able to criticize players. I think he's always been so close to the vest, and so I'd rather BS the media than tell him how I feel. But now, all of a sudden, being paid all this money to be the next Tony Romo-esque type guy.
Are you talking about for broadcasting?
Yeah, for broadcasting.
Yeah, that's why
I don't think Brady's going to be a good broadcaster.
We've talked about like dudes being good broadcasters a lot in the past, and I think that the common denominator usually when us is like energy. Mm-hmm. Like energy, excitement, all of that. Whereas McVay is always like energetic, looks like he's always drinking Red Bull.
But also with that is fearlessness.
Yeah, sure. But the energy, the fearlessness, all of that is huge variables. Cliff is not... like over the top energetic.
That's what I was interested in.
He's cool, calm, sunglasses and shades. You know, he's very chill. Mm-hmm. So that's, I mean, I think Cliff's going to either take a year off or be the OC at New England, quite honestly. But I don't hate if he would be D'Amico Ryan's offensive coordinator with the Texans. 713-780-ESPN. 6087 brings up a point that I think is interesting to talk about, because he says, knowing this organization, the Texans will hire Jeff Saturday as head coach. And I think the Saturday comparison would be more Josh McCown. The Texans are trying to not be that organization anymore.
Yep.
And that's the hope of the fan base. That's the hope of the city, is they're no longer the laughingstock that's hiring, or at least interviewing Josh McCown, never been a coach before ever, that's hiring David Culley, that has a bunch of coaching candidates on their list that nobody else is hiring. I think that's what the Texans are trying to escape. I also think it's the hope of the fan base that they're escaping that. That's why everybody likes this list.
Take it full circle. This is what I said when we started the show, which is the one thing that I get the overwhelming sense is that whether they're getting help or not, they're trying to completely resurrect and restart the entire franchise.
Sure.
With everything Cal says and does, with everything Nick has said, with everything that they're trying to do with it, handling the coaching search right this time. It just seems like they're trying to escape their past as quick as possible, and this is a complete reboot of every aspect of the franchise. That's why I don't think they would go that kind of route again.
No, and that's why everybody likes this list, is because every name on this list wouldn't be a shocking hire. I don't want Gannon. I don't want Shane Steichen. I don't want Sean Payton. I don't want Avero. I don't want Thomas Brown. I want either Benny Johnson, or I want D'Amico Ryans. But any of the other names that get hired, no one around the world, no one around the country, no one in the city sitting there going, who is that guy? I've never heard of David Culley. Josh McCown, I knew him in his playing days. Has he been coaching anywhere? Yeah, at Rusk High School. Lovie Smith has got a head coaching job again in the NFL when he hasn't coached in the NFL in about 10 years, and he lost his butt at Illinois. Like, the Texans have had names on their coaching candidate list that people mock, laugh at, ridicule.
This is the exact, again, to say the 180 thing again, this is a 180 from the last search when no one was enamored with anybody that they named. They didn't like the way they handled the entire process. They had more questions than answer every time a name popped up. And this time they're going, that's a good list. That's impressive. They're doing this the right way. They didn't wait 4 days to fire their coach. They got the right candidates involved. This is all part of that complete reset, reboot of the Houston Texans.
So to the 6087 point, knowing this organization will hire Jeff Saturday as head coach, I think the apple-to-apple comp is Josh McCown. They're trying to move past that. Yep. At least that's the hope, that they're no longer that organization. And to 6087's point, I don't fully believe it until they make the hire. Like, I'm not going to take this list and then all of a sudden Josh McCown's on it tomorrow and then he gets hired as the head coaching job and I'm going to be like, yeah, look, this is a new Houston Texan organization. No, I'm not going to think that. When the Texans make the hire is when I'll say they're no longer that organization, because they have been that organization. Culley, silly hire. Lovie Smith, no one else would have hired. This guy has to be somebody that everybody would take you seriously. 1970, is Harbaugh no longer in the conversation? I don't know if he ever was
in the conversation until he's there's an interview.
Right.
And I don't know that they're going to.
I'm not sure that they're going to either. It doesn't seem like they're moving in that direction.
Although, again, what I'd like to see is interview everybody that you could possibly can. Get the intel. Get the experience from an interview perspective. Again, get everybody's fresh ideas on your franchise. You're only hiring one, so there's a whole lot of people you're going to reject. But there's no limit to how many people you can talk to, so have the conversation.
Yeah, have that conversation. I think it's a good idea. This text is interesting. 5806, how come coaches are called great when they win with great players, then they lose with regular players, and no one says they're a bad coach? Example, Sean McVay. Would we say that Sean McVay can't win without good players? Because I view going to the Super Bowl with Jared Goff as pretty good coaching from Sean McVay.
Yeah, I would view that as great.
Like, they didn't score much in that game against the Patriots, not at all, but I don't think that anybody views Sean McVay as a bad coach.
Cooper Kupp then either. It was Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks leading that team.
And to push back even further,
Todd Gurley was still on that team. Yeah, he was done though.
He was shot. But the reason why we want Ben Johnson so much is Big Johnson. We want the Big Johnson because of the fact that with very little to work with, he was an unbelievable coach, and that's what he's going to have to do here. So that's why I think all three of us say he is unanimously our number one pick.
Everybody had moved past. He's winning with a fourth round wide receiver. He's winning with obviously less
overrated running back.
Yeah, exactly. He's winning with lesser talent than other people are.
Jared Goff, his quarterback.
And Jared Goff, his quarterback, his ironically, just like McVay.
It is ironic. It is DeAndre Swift, who's been disappointing.
That's what I said.
According to many Detroit fans. Williams, who was available in free agency to any team in the NFL, and he's breaking Barry Sanders records. Fourth round receiver, named the second best receiver on Detroit. And they traded away their highest draft pick on that offense with Hockenson.
Probably DJ Chark, which is not saying a lot.
Right, exactly. Benny Johnson, he had an interview with Texans today. All right, it's going to do it for
Hope
us.
He has
Thanks
another.
To B-Mac for doing all the hard work. He is Blank. I am Branham. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston.
Football.
The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.